Four Show. I'm here today with my guest, comedian and Suicide Girls model, Lindsay Jennings.
Hey.
What up?
How's it going? And first, just before I start, I wanted to say thank you to this week's podcast sponsor, Monzer Bissat. His Instagram is at MONZERBISSAT. Thank you so much, Monzer, for supporting this episode. Sorry, my dog just started trying to jump up here right now. It's good to see you, Lindsay. I haven't seen you in a couple months.
Yeah.
You've been on the road or?
Well, I mean, for a couple months, I think we've all been in our houses. But before
yeah.
most of us, the good ones at least. But yeah, no, I was in, I've been in New York for on and off for like since December. I was here for the holidays and then I went to LA in January and I went to Vegas for the AVN Awards. We always do a show there, so that's fun. But I was on the road all fall until December. But I was supposed to be on the road last month until like just 2 days ago. But now, obviously, everything was canceled. So,
yeah. Are you from New York?
I'm from New York, yeah.
I am too.
I think I knew that. Wait, where are you from? Long Island?
No, Westchester.
Okay, kind of close. Kind of close.
What about you?
I'm from Long Island, so I'm out like in the middle. I'm in the house that I grew up in right now, my parents' house.
Oh, what part of Long Island are you?
Like middle. We're not like rich Long Island people. We're like, you know, middle class Long Island. Like I grew up in a pretty like one of the few black areas. Like my road is not like black people, but like my school is all
yeah.
mixed. Where most schools on Long Island, you know, are like all white people. So
yeah. My dad grew up in Merrick.
Okay, so that's Nassau. I'm in Suffolk, which is like the middle of the island.
Is that where Jones Beach is?
Kind of. I was just talking about Jones Beach yesterday because I saw the Beach Boys at Jones Beach before it got ruined by Hurricane Sandy. And I was like, wow, I sound so Long Island right now. But yeah, it's like a half hour from Jones Beach.
I saw the Pixies there.
Oh my God, I love that.
Damn, I miss Jones Beach.
I know.
Did you go there a lot growing up?
Not like a lot, but like probably once a summer, you know, and like Robert Moses Beach. But we more went to Smith Point. That's like more East Coast, you know?
Okay.
Not East Coast, East, you know what I mean? East side of Long Island.
Long Beach Island?
Did I ever go to Long Beach Island?
Yeah. Jaggy, stop it. Sorry, he's biting something. Jaggy,
no. I went there like when I was older, like, in my early 20s, like with friends and stuff to get drunk, but I didn't really go there growing up, no.
So, you know, first of all, I just want to like put it out there, like, you know, I was a stripper. I love, like, you know, I'm a sex positive person. I love like your whole vibe. Not only are you a very attractive woman, like you have the cutest fucking face. I love your smile. I think that when I see you, I'm like, she's so attractive. But
oh my God, thank you.
You have like a really attractive personality too. And like, I really love how like truly yourself you are. I mean, I know that we don't know each other very well, but like, I obviously see you around all the time. We're in like the same mix at the Comedy Store. Yeah, you just like have like a really good vibe. And especially
my heart.
And like, I'm impressed because you're very open about like sex stuff. I want to be careful about saying sex work. How would you define?
Yeah. I mean, like it's weird because I never thought of myself as a sex worker, but now I know that I technically am I fall under that umbrella.
People are going to put terms on it.
Yeah. Like I definitely never thought like, cause in my mind, you know, I just thought, first of all, I never even heard the term sex worker until like 2 years ago, I feel like. Like before that, it was just like hookers and prostitutes and strippers. That's like, yeah. You know, and then cam girls came about. And also before I go into that, thank you. That was so sweet. And I never would have known. but you're awesome. And I always love seeing you and you've always been so cool. Yeah, I never thought of myself as a sex worker, especially because I just... Like, I've been doing Suicide Girls for 7 years now, which is crazy. So I wouldn't have considered that, like, sex work. But I did know, like, that technically it was considered softcore porn or whatever because it's just, like, nudity online. But since it's not, like, you know, like, penetration or, like, actual sex, it wasn't considered, like, hardcore porn, but it's still porn. But yeah, then obviously this whole sex worker movement has been coming about, and you know, like Amber Rose did the slut walk, and it's like just a lot of stuff has been coming to light. So yeah, technically I'm a sex worker, but I never knew that until recently.
I wasn't even like trying to go there. I guess I just found myself like trying to describe, like, well, I think what I like is like your openness about your sexuality. And I think it's like, in particular, like what drew me to like want to have you on my podcast was like just the stuff that you have been posting just like cracks me up. When you posted like a photo of your face just like covered behind you with money, like that's so fucking funny. And it's like, it just like made me nostalgic for like that hustling energy. I see your tweets, and like a couple of weeks ago, you know, just talking about how much money like cam girls are making right now.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, that was so funny to me. And then it like made me jealous. And I was like, damn, like I got married during the quarantine, or else like I would have been making so much money. Like that's where my mind went. You
know? Yeah, totally. And I fucking, I struggle with that all the time because I find myself like you're in a happy marriage, and I want nothing more than to be in love, I think I'm realizing. and that's such a hard thing to deal with, because every time I see somebody that like I think, oh, maybe this could be something, first of all, I learned, I think, from Gabby Lamb's Twitter, I was like, oh, she was like talking about being a sex, love, and fantasy addict, which like I learned about sex and love addict from my ex-boyfriend, who, you know, I don't know if you know.
Wait, give me the initials.
PR.
Huh?
PR. You don't remember this person I dated, comedian, musician, no longer does comedy.
Oh yeah, guitar. Yeah. I heard he has a huge dick.
Not huge. I mean, it's nice. It was good.
I don't around anymore.
Well, he's got a baby.
On Mondays in the main room.
Yeah, no, he's not even there anymore.
Oh, okay. He had a baby?
He had a baby, yeah.
Oh, wow.
With a girl that he was with when he was with me.
Oh, God, what an asshole.
Well, we were, like, in a open relationship, but it was not a healthy open relationship. It was, like, I wanted to be in a relationship, and he didn't, so that's just what it turned into.
Yeah.
So it was just really unhealthy, but, yeah, I learned about sex and love addict from that, and I was, like, okay, I probably am that. Like, I used to be, when I was younger, I was, like, oh, I'm a nymphomaniac, but I'm, like, no, I'm probably more in this, like, sex, love addict thing, and then Gabby said something about fantasy addict, and I was, like, oh, my God, that's so me. So, like, you know, anytime I have a crush or something, I just idealize them, and then I picture our whole lives together. So anyway, I had a crush who I broke quarantine for one time. It was the one time I broke quarantine. But anyway, the point is, I find myself thinking, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't post this, or maybe, like, trying to pander to what he wants, and thinking, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't post my OnlyFans stuff or this. And I hate that, because why should I feel that way, you know?
I do. I really relate. First of all, I used to go to SLAW meetings. It's called SLAW, Sex and Love Anonymous. I was in that program for a couple of years. I actually, me and Steven used to go together when we were friends as well.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, then I had a sponsor for a brief amount of time. And during that time, I was in a relationship with someone who I also think you might have fucked him. I don't know. I've actually always wondered. Can I give the initials?
Oh, my God.
Do you know who my ex is? B.A. Does that mean anything to you?
B.A.?
Well, he loves Suicide Girls.
He's a comedian?
Suicide Girl. What?
He's a comedian?
Yeah. He's a paid regular. He's short.
I cannot think of anybody right now. So maybe not. Let me think on it. See if I remember by the end. Oh my God, I can't think of anyone.
Well, anyways, when I was dating him, I would post like a lot of, you know, I was like a very overly sexual person for a long time, like a really long time. I always led with my sexuality. And I think like that kind of like died a little bit in me when I like fully stopped participating in, you know, that whole kind of like hustler world.
Yeah.
I'm careful with what I want to say, because I don't want to be like I just want to be saying my experience. I don't know, whatever. Anyways, I was going to say I grew out of it, but like, I don't want to say like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Because I think it's like, I think like I missed like a lot of parts of myself too, that like, I feel like I'm not 100% that way anymore. Anyways, I was dating this guy.
Okay. After this, I need to text you and we need to figure out, because I need to know
I'll
now.
I'll just text you right now.
Okay. But what you said about leading with sexuality, I relate to so much, because literally the guy that I broke quarantine for.
Me.
Oh,
because I didn't get your number. I'll just give you mine. Sorry.
Oh, shit. Can you send it on Facebook still?
Oh, yeah.
I'll text you later. Podcast,
but keep finishing.
No, just I do this thing where like, I know that I can get somebody's attention by, you know, going, oh no, I never banged him. I don't even really know him.
I felt like he wanted to fuck you, and I could have seen it happening, because he's obsessed with like girls with tattoos and suicide girls.
Oh
and
my God. I think somebody, I think somebody told me that he was into suicide girls, but I don't know. I think we've met before, but we've never really like interacted much. Oh. Or if we did, I was really drunk and I don't remember.
You know when you're in a crazy relationship and you like convince yourself that this person has fucked all these people?
Oh yeah.
I was 100% sure that he had fucked you when we broke up. Like,
oh my God. So it was like around the time that I knew you and came around, or that you guys were dating?
Like, we dated for like a year and a half, and then we broke up like off and on. So I assumed it was like during like an off time.
Did you ever ask him?
No, but it's like, you know when you're so crazy that you just assume? I've been carrying this for years.
Well, I'm glad we cleared it up. But I am the same exact way. And the thing is, with my ex, I was always right, because he was just fucking everybody.
Oh, yeah. It's weird, because like, as a girl, like, you can sense, like, I was wrong on this one, but like, you can like sense it, and then you'll be like, are you sure you did it? And guys will like gaslight you and make you feel like you were crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
It's such a mind fuck. But anyways, I went into Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous when I was dating this guy, because I would always post like really like slutty photos, and like, you know, I'd be doing like the photo shoots and lingerie thing, you know, that LA kind of girl, like, I'm like,
yeah.
and one of the things that I would like talk about when I was in that program was like how I felt it as like a way of like intriguing, or like I would get like so much validation from doing it. It felt like I was like pushing like some sort of like limit or boundary or like shock value, but it would like,
yeah,
I don't know. Do you like experience any of that or not really?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I feel like it's the same, in a sense, it's the same way as like, you know, when you post a joke and you want it to do really well, and then it does, and you're like, oh my God, great. You know, you feel so good. It's the same way when you post like a hot photo, you're like, okay, if nobody likes it, you feel like shit. But if a lot of people like it, you're like, oh, hey, I'm pretty hot or whatever. I don't know. But, I forgot what I was saying before with the leading with sexuality thing. Like, I'll be wanting to like approach somebody in a way that I want to date them, but because I know it's so much easier to know that I'm going to get their attention with sexuality and know that they're going to want to fuck, I'll be like, okay, like I lead with that. And that's an issue that I've had too, because I don't want, that's not what I want. I'm looking for like a monogamous relationship, but I have such a problem with that. And I'm a very overly sexual person too.
I like literally, that was like my entire life too. And I noticed that I would always lead with sexuality. I was always like sending pictures to guys, like before we even like went on dates, just like, why am I sending a picture of my pussy to a strip? Like, and unless I'm not getting paid, and no.
And, that's the thing too, is that like, now that I'm doing OnlyFans and stuff, like, even that's one thing that it's kind of saved me from doing that with dudes, is because I just am constantly doing that like to make money. So it's like, I'm not going to just send this guy this shit for free. And I get the intention and validation for my nudes from the OnlyFans and stuff, so I don't feel like I have to do that as much. And also just because it's so embarrassing if somebody doesn't respond, if you send a nude.
I'm trying to rack my brain for like a really bad memory of that happening.
Yeah. Well, like the guy I was just talking to is such a just like misogynistic like comedian, and he's really funny, but just Like, he did a whole thing about talking about, like, oh, it's such a chore when girls send you nudes. I'm like, oh, fuck off. He's like, then you gotta be like, oh, hubba, hubba. Like, you know, you have to respond to it. You can't not respond to it. So I'm like, I'm not sending him any fucking nudes.
Yeah. He doesn't deserve that. Yeah, what I noticed, like, what made a difference is when I started being friends with a guy before, like, my relationship with Stephen, we were friends first.
Yeah.
And then I feel like that's, like, one of the reasons why it worked out. Because with every other relationship, I would just, like, you know, hook up with them too soon, feel, you know, just be, like, sexual.
See, that thing, I hate that whole idea, too, because, like, I don't know, I fucking have done so much research about this shit, too, and I'm always, especially if I like somebody, I'm always reading about it, and I was recently reading lots of art. Like, I literally, like, read Wiki How to Get a Guy to Like You. And it's, but, like, all that shit is, like, oh, you gotta be friends first, and I really believe that, too, and I was trying that with this dude, and I was, like, totally his friend, and then I just, like, was drunk, like, ah, I wanna fuck, but the thing is, a lot of these articles, too, there's a lot of things saying, like, if you have sex with somebody on the first date, like, it really doesn't matter, it could go 50-50, because there's, like, some relationships that are gonna, like, keep going from that, and if you like each other, you like each other, and then if he's going to be an asshole and never talk to you again, then you probably didn't want to date that person anyway. But at the same time, it's like, I feel there are probably situations where that could ruin it, especially if the person's nervous or you're drunk or, like, there's so many different factors and ways that could pan out, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like it's like that whole thing about a guy really wanting to chase girls. I feel like that is just, like, true.
Yeah.
No, do you find that a lot of guys are controlling and jealous and insecure with you and, like, your work?
Yes, in the people that I've dated, but the thing is that I haven't dated anybody in so long that, like, I haven't experienced that. Mm-hmm. Ooh, excuse me. In so long, but definitely every relationship I have been in has been super controlling, and, like, it sucks because it just changes you and makes, like, I don't know. I've had to, like, refine myself after every relationship because it's just, like, I give myself over to them so much and they usually are controlling. And it's hard for people to deal with, you know, people who are in the spotlight, I think, and especially hot girls who are in the spotlight. I'm sure you can relate.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. What kind of things do you do to, like, rebuild yourself after a breakup?
Tweet a bunch of embarrassing shit. Like, I see my fucking memories on Facebook and I'm like, oh my god, like, you could tell when I'm going through a breakup and I'm like, yeah, oh my god, this is
me too. Like, from 10 years ago, it's just a sad face. I'm like, I know which guy that was.
Exactly. Mine is just like, oh my, mine from my last comedian ex is really, really embarrassing, those tweets. Just because it was such a tumultuous relationship that everything went so crazy. But I guess, what do I do to rebuild? I guess I just start working on myself again and I start looking cute again, you know, like,
yes.
I feel like my one ex-boyfriend, he would be like, because I wouldn't get dressed up because I'd be like going to his house to go lay in his bed and like watch Netflix. So I'm not going to put fucking makeup on and lipstick to go fucking lay in your bed. Sorry. But he would get so offended that when I went out with my girlfriends, I would get all dressed up. And I'm like, I'm not doing this because I'm looking for dudes to fuck. I'm doing this to feel good about myself. And because I'm doing it really for my friends. Like right now I put makeup on for you because I'm like, oh, Chelsea always looks cute. I want to like look nice, you know?
I put full eye makeup on because it was just the energy I thought of, like, when thinking about like a sex conversation.
Yes, you have sex, you know? Eyes. Porn makeup.
This is like my stripper eye makeup.
It's good. But yeah, he would be like so offended that I got dressed up and I'm like, this isn't for anybody but me and my girlfriends, you fucking asshole. I'm not gonna get dressed to come lay in your bed.
Yeah. So when did you start building out your tats? Is that like the way you say it? I'm so lame.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of tattoo, like, I feel like traditional tattooers have made people for saying tats, but then like my neo-traditional tats, so I don't know. I guess I say both, but I started when I was 15 getting tattoos. My first tattoo was matching my ex-boyfriend, my high school boyfriend. I have three boyfriends. I have three ex-boyfriends, my high school boyfriend, my college boyfriend, and my comedy boyfriend.
Love it.
But, what?
Easy to keep track of.
Yeah, exactly. It's like phases of my life. Hopefully one more. But yeah, I started when I was 15 with this tattoo on my back. Let me see if I never know where they are. Oh, wait, can't, hold on. I'm disappearing into the background. Can you see these roses on my back or no? Yeah.
I like that.
So underneath that is a bunch of black dots that were my ex-boyfriend's name in Braille. We got each other's names tattooed in Braille.
Why?
We
were like, oh,
because we're fucking idiots. And we thought that we were like 15 and we thought that like, oh, then, you know, it's not like just straight up getting each other's names, but it was really technically only Braille for like a week. Well, it was bumpy. Then it was just a bunch of black dots that mean nothing.
Funny.
And that he still has his. I don't know if he ever got his covered, but I got mine covered. But you can't see the dots at all because the shading is so good. But I had, when he cheated on me, which is probably why I have such, all my relationships have been bad, but he cheated on me and I broke up with him and I had my friend try to scratch it out with like a safety pin. So I just have like tic-tac. Yeah, it's like tic-tac-toe scratch marks and you can't see the tattoo at all, but you can still see the scar from the tic-tac-toe scratch marks.
Oh my God. And then you just kept going from there, kind of?
I had, that was like jailhouse style. Our friend did it. So I had a few done like that. And then like when I was like 17, I like took my sister's ID because she was 11 months older than me. So I took her ID and got a tattoo at a tattoo shop, which is my Magically Delicious above my vagina. And then when I was 17 again, I had a friend who did it like at his house. And then when I was 18, I started getting like just little tattoos all the time. And then I dated a tattoo artist when I was 20. So he did my neck. Oh wait. Yeah, that's it. He did my neck and, some other stuff. And that's when I started to like get them more consistently, but I don't get tattoos as like probably from like 20 to 25, I was getting tattooed all the time. And now I'm like barely getting any.
What you have that I love is like the back thigh, like upper thigh tattoos. Those are so hot.
Thanks, that's like, my fave.
Yeah, they always like, those are like when you see like suicide girls on Instagram and you see them like with their butts from the back with the thigh like tattoos or like the garter thing. Like,
yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that's my favorite too. Those are my biggest tattoos and those are like my most recent too. But I was good friends with a tattoo artist, but turns out, she was fucking, first of all, I stopped being her friend just because she was a crazy bitch and she just was like treating me like shit and we were really close. She was acting like we were in a relationship, but she, it turned out, fucked my ex-boyfriend for like months while me and her were friends. And I found this out like, I found this out after I already stopped being her friend just because she was like so insecure and treated me like shit. And then I found out she was fucking my ex. So like half of my last tattoos were from her because we would like trade. I would do her hair and she would give me tattoos, but yeah, she did those two tattoos. I love my tattoos from her, but hate the bitch now.
So once you got, like, so you started doing Suicide Girl 7 years ago. What did you do in between that? Like, what did you do before that?
Well, I did hair straight out of high school. Because when I was in high school, I went to hair school. They had, like, a program where, like, you would leave halfway through the day, take
That's
a bus.
So cool. In high school?
Okay. Yeah, it was, they had like audio engineering, they had acting, they had, like engineering, they had all different kinds of things that people could do, nursing, medical assistant. So yeah, I did that in high school. So I was really lucky that they had that program because I would go in my last year of high school, I went in fourth period. I went to like three classes and then I would leave from there and go to BOCES, which was the program.
Oh yeah, BOCES.
Yeah, you know, it's like they do like adult schooling and stuff at night. So I went and did a hair school there and I guess I just did it because I was always doing my, sorry. My brother started calling me. I should put my phone on do not disturb. I never get phone calls. I never even thought about that while doing these like Zoom calls that I should.
I know. It's like, it's touch and go.
Can you do like a Zoom call while your phone's on do not disturb?
I don't know. I honestly have to, I just like end the call. Well, I'm doing it on my computer, but
yeah, I should do that. My computer's like from 2012 though, so the camera sucks. But the fuck was that? Yeah, so I just was doing people's hair and makeup all the time already anyway. And I don't even remember it being my idea. I always thought that my mom suggested it, and then I was like, at the salon talking about it when she was there one day, and she was like, I didn't tell you to do it. You decided. I was like, oh. But I literally never thought I would do hair in a salon. Like, I always thought, oh, I'll just get the license and have it as a backup. I was like, I'm going to be famous by the time I'm like 20. And then that obviously didn't happen. And I ended up working for a salon. Like, I didn't even try to get a job at the salon. I feel like everything in my life always falls into place like this, where like I had to interview a salon for a project, and I had been hustling doing piercings on the side in high school. I like pretended to be a piercing shop and ordered like a bunch of wholesale piercing stuff back when I was like 15, and started piercing people on the side, and I was actually pretty good, and I did it just as clean as like they do at tattoo conventions. So I'm like, I wasn't dirty doing it. But yeah, I pierced this girl's nose, and she happened to say, oh, my aunt owns a salon. And I was like, oh shit, I need to do this project. So I ended up interviewing her aunt for the project, and they ended up asking me to work for them like a few months later. I ended up working there for 7 years before I moved to LA. So,
and then how did the Suicide Girls like come about?
I definitely wanted to do Suicide Girls since I was like in high school, because I remember seeing them when I was like 15, and I always thought it was really cool. And then I took pictures when I was 18, and I hated them, and I just didn't feel comfortable with myself. And I think that the more tattoos I got, the more comfortable I felt naked. So yeah, I took pictures, didn't end up like going through with it. And then when I was 23, I had been working on music starting when I was like 17. I started making music, and I really thought that was going to be like my career or whatever. And I had an opportunity to move to LA when I was 23, and I had just broken up with a boyfriend like 6 months prior to that. So I ended up just taking the opportunity to move to LA and work on music. And Suicide Girls was, it turned out their headquarters was like 2 miles from where I lived in Hollywood. And for whatever reason, I just decided like, okay, I feel like this will help me build more of a fan base, even though, you know, a lot of them are just like creepy dudes or whatever. But so I finally did it when I was 23.
Oh, okay, cool. And then, so like, how does it work? Like, you go there and you're like, I want to be a model. And then like, they're like, okay. Or like, they're, like, what's like the process of getting into it?
I mean, I think it's so different for all different people, because there's definitely girls that like are maybe already like popular models on the internet that they'll seek out and be like, oh, we want you to be a Suicide Girl. And then some girls, like, you know, like this one girl who's one of the really popular Suicide Girls, Abby, they found her at a strip club and she was stripping, and our tour manager, it was when they were on tour in like 2013. She was like, you should be a Suicide Girl. So there's a lot of girls who are recruiters or whatever. And any Suicide Girl can recruit a girl. So you can give them a card and be like, you know, put me as a referral. Then if she becomes a Suicide Girl, you get paid too. It's like a whole thing like that. Pyramid scheme or whatever. But you really, it's so easy. You just apply online. You just apply on the website. There's like a little, you know, tab that says apply. But there are like, I didn't know this, that like when I first started, that there are thousands and thousands of hopeful Suicide Girls, which means that they're like not a Suicide Girl yet, but they're on the website.
Yeah.
So it's like, I always thought that was crazy that these people are just putting their nudes out there for free, which now I don't think it's as crazy, because it's like not as, it's just not as big of a deal now. Mm-hmm. But I knew that I wasn't going to be at that time putting my shit out there and like being hoping to be a Suicide Girl. So I don't know. I applied, and then they contacted me right away. So I think everybody's experience is different. I know the girls who have been like a hopeful for 3 to 10 years. But like,
yeah, even, that sucks.
I know. That's what, but like they, it's cool, 'cause it's like a community, and like, it's definitely fun, and hopefuls get into our shows for free and stuff too. So like, there's definitely like a lot of perks to all of it. But I don't know. Yeah. I didn't like that idea, but like, I've seen when we were on tour, the owner of Suicide Girls used to come on tour with us, and we'd have a lot of times hopeful girls in different cities helping us, like whether they were like stage kittening backstage or whatever, you know, like picking up the clothes during the show, stuff like that. And if girls were very hopeful, I've seen girls who, not hopeful, helpful. I've seen girls who the owner made them a Suicide Girl the next day, you know? So it's like, a couple people have the power to do stuff like that, but otherwise it usually takes a while, like a few months. But I guess if they're really interested in you, they'll be like, oh, we want you to come shoot a set. So since they were, I applied and they were interested, they set up a shoot with me to come to the Suicide Girls house and shoot there. And I did that. And then I still had to wait like 6 months, but I wasn't like, I didn't even know it was a thing to be like on the internet. Like, I'm a hopeful, check out my set on here. Like, I just was like, I'm just going to, they told me what date I would be a Suicide Girl. And I was like, I'm just going to wait till then to promote it. And that's mm-hmm. what I did. And it was like 6 months.
What's like the entirety of like, I guess to explain to like a listener who might not know what a Suicide Girl is and like what you guys do and like have and put out there.
Basically, it's just a website, suicidegirls.com. It started like before MySpace. It was like around the same time. Mm-hmm. So, excuse me. It started as a social media website and it would be just girl. It was supposed to be like girls taking photos of girls and it's just pinup photography. And then, you know, it became this whole site. And so now we also have the burlesque tour. So it's basically mm-hmm. this website where girls put up naked photo sets and it starts, they start in clothes and then they get naked. And it's like a place where you can talk to the girls and it really is like a crazy, it's like a sorority around the world because now I know literally hot girls all over the world in every country. Like I could go stay anywhere. Not now, obviously, because it's a pandemic, but like I never even met this one girl, but, and that's, it is a risk because you never know. And of course everybody, there's crazy people in every situation. So of course there's crazy suicide girls, but for the most part, they've been pretty cool. I like went and stayed with one girl in Italy who I had never even met before, but we had mutual friends and I like love her so much. So it's just like a giant sorority around the world. It's like a little niche.
I love that. And then like, I remember like at a roast battle, there was like a picture, like a pussy pillow or something. I remember being there that night or hearing about it or something.
It was, what did they call it? Oh, like, you know, this, it's like a waifu, right? It's called like a waifu pillow, which is like,
a body.
Yeah, like normally it would be like a, they started as like anime girls, like they would have anime characters on. And then this one guy, one photographer did a project where he put a bunch of suicide girls on the pillows. So I brought it to roast battle for the wave to use.
I love that. That's so funny. So like, and then are Suicide Girls pictures like, is it like full bent over from the back, like pussy shots?
It's like every girl does it differently. Like when I first did it, I definitely wasn't down for that. Now, like, I don't give a fuck. I'm like, spready. Yeah. But
funny how in the beginning, it's like, I'd never do that. And it's like, that's what I do now.
Yeah. In the beginning, I was like, I don't want, cause they always said you had to show everything, but you just had to show tits and ass. You didn't have to show like your actual vagina. You just had to show like a frontal shot. But it didn't have to be legs open. So mine were, you couldn't even see like the line of my vagina. You know what I mean? It was just like closed leg vagina. And now even on Suicide Girls, I still don't like, I'll do like bent over from the back, but it's like, you know, like a closed pussy shot. But now on my OnlyFans, I'm just like doing everything.
Is it weird? Like, obviously, like, a lot of guys, like, fetishize, like, tattoos and stuff. I mean, yeah. That's, like, what Suicide Girls kind of is, right?
Yeah.
Is it kind of, like, weird? Like, I know people who have tattoos are, like, can be, like, very sensitive about them. And I know there's, like, a whole kind of, like, group of people who, like, are, like, it's just, like, I'm probably one of them. Like, do you understand what I'm trying to say?
No, what?
I feel like people who have tattoos are like sensitive about them, or they're just like, if you don't know, then like you don't fucking know and you're an idiot kind of thing. Or it's like,
anybody who
about my tattoos kind of thing. Like, I know there's like a whole vibe of that.
Wait, what? Don't talk to me about my tattoos.
Yeah, like, do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, how people with tattoos like have a separate thing from people who don't, and then people who don't are like always very interested in the tattoos, and there's like a level of it being annoying.
I feel like there's so many different types of people with tattoos, like definitely it gets annoying when people are constantly asking what does it mean, because it's like half the time people with tattoos, like half of their tattoos have no meaning. There are definitely people who are like, oh, this means that, but those people are usually pretty cheesy. I feel like if all your tattoos have meaning, it's like, okay, bitch. But Like, I feel like most people who have tattoos just think it looks cool and it's just like art. And then there's like, if you're like a tattoo artist, like a lot of tattoo artists and in that whole scene, tattoo models and stuff, like you literally just get tattoos that are like jokes and like, it just doesn't mean shit to you. It's just like funny. Like I love when people ask me if my tattoos have meaning and I say no. And then you just like see their eyes like, what? Like they can't even fathom that I can like not give a shit. But there's definitely a type of person who is like, oh my God, don't ask me about my tattoos. And I'm like, okay, well you're annoying too. Cause it's like, you have tattoos. People are obviously going to ask about it. You got it because you think it looks cool and you probably wanted attention at some point, you know? So like, don't be mad that people are giving you attention now for what you got. But,
I never understood that.
Well, you never understood that, you said?
Yeah, when people get like that. But so I was assuming how there's probably a lot of suicide girls who feel that way. And then when you guys have these kind of like events, I'm sure there's a lot of like creepy guys who really like fetishize the idea of girls with tattoos. Like,
yeah.
Can that get like annoying?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, luckily, the people who come to our shows are, they're usually pretty cool and they're like, just think we're so cool. So like, they're just excited to talk to us. And most of the time they're not creeps, but we definitely encounter, you know, the rare person who's just a fucking asshole and asks inappropriate questions. And but for the most part, our fans are pretty chill. But I also want to say that there are, this girl, Natalie Cuomo, just made a shirt I have that says, underneath all your tattoos, you're still a mainstream cunt. It's like, there's,
because there's, funny.
Yeah, because there's so many people who just get tattoos and then they like identify as that. And I'm like, if your tattoos are your identity, like you don't have a personality. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't like people like that.
So OnlyFans, is OnlyFans a new thing?
Yeah, actually. I don't know when I guess it came out like last year, I think. And I think it's so funny that like now it's like such a thing and like all these like comedians are like joking about it and making fun of it or starting them. But it just like popped up so quickly. Cause before that, you know, it's been like cam sites and I know like the number one cam site that I know of, which I'm pretty sure is probably the number one cam site in the world is MyFreeCams because they're the people who sponsor the AVN awards now. So it's like camming has taken over porn. I think that.
Really? So what, like in what, because it's just live porn essentially, like are more people giving their money to like, I don't know like about the cam world. I'm interested.
Honestly, I don't know that much about the cam world either. I'm just getting into that because I have only, like, up until this year, I had only done, like, I had a Patreon, and I started on that being like, oh, I'm gonna do cosplay and post my jokes on here, and then it's like, it's just nudes. But I've done a mix of that, and, like, I'll post, like, stand-up sets there because I'm like, I'm not gonna post this entire, like, half-hour set to the internet so everybody can see all the jokes that I have, but I'm like, my few Patreon people, they can see it. So I'll post stuff like that on Patreon. So I've been doing Patreon since 2017. I started an uncensored Snapchat in 2016, which was like perfect timing because I like did a video shoot with my friend. We were at like a music video shoot all night at a Moonlight Rollerway in Glendale.
Yeah,
I love that place. I don't know why I feel like I have to see these details, but she convinced me and like, I was like, I don't know. I don't want to do it. I'm just lazy, whatever. And she's like, no, bitch, it's free money. Just do it. She's like, literally all you have to do is post a couple nudes every day. She's like, get out of the shower, post a video or a picture of you naked, whatever. And she's like, and people just give you money. It's so easy. And I was like, okay. So I did that. And I've been doing that for 4 years. And then I literally lost my job like a month later. So I was like, well, that was perfect timing. So I basically transitioned into just making money online in between doing tours with Suicide Girls. Mm-hmm. And then
a ton of money from that. Like what's the most that someone ever gave you online? Like a single person?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think probably like $300. Actually, no, one guy. Yeah, probably like around 300 at a time because I'll sell like sex videos now. Like I have like a handful of videos that I've made, half with comedians.
Like masturbating videos or like you having sex with people?
Like me having sex with like.
Oh. That excites me so much.
So I have like, I'm like trying to be quiet because my parents are here. This is why I'm like in my brother's room. But Because they know what I do, but they don't, like, know the details. They don't want to hear the details. They're like, you know, they can guess it. But I have, like, 5 videos that I've sold over the last 4 years that I just keep selling to new people. So, like, I've made thousands of dollars off these same 5 videos. And then I have one girl-on-girl video that I made with a friend on tour.
Yeah.
And so I just sell those. And then sometimes, like, now that I have OnlyFans, you have a thing on OnlyFans where you can do pay per view message. So you send a message. It's so fucking easy. You just send a message to all your patrons, and it could be like a clip of the video or whatever. So I'll send like a shorter clip of one of those videos for $10 or something.
Because like I used to.
Yeah. And then I'm like, if you want the whole video, whatever. And then they have to pay to open the message. So I make a lot of money doing that, which is great. And but before that, I had been just selling these things on Snapchat. And originally when I first started, I was just doing like Snapchat length.
Yeah, because I remember seeing you posting about like the Snapchat a lot, like that you'd be like doing things on Snapchat.
Yeah, and I didn't really get into the masturbating stuff until like a little bit later, but now I'm doing that. I freaking live stream done. So I guess I've technically cammed, but because OnlyFans is like basically like Instagram and you can go live. So I just started this week because I'm like, I haven't totally delved into that stuff, and people are always like, oh, you should cam. And it's just like, I'm not good about like scheduling a time and sticking to it. And like, I just never wanted to commit to it. And I had been making enough money on Snapchat and stuff. So I was like, all right. But now like slowly I've transitioned. So now I make like a small chunk from Patreon every month. I barely am selling the Snapchat anymore, but I still am like consistent on there. And then I'll like sell videos on there. And then now OnlyFans has been like my main source of income, especially since this quarantine had started. Because every time I have a girl that convinces me to do it. Like I wasn't going to do Patreon. Somebody convinced me to do it. I was on tour this year and my friend Circa convinced me. She's like, you have to do OnlyFans. It's so easy. And that message thing is like the best thing, being able to send that. So I'll hustle in that way. And now that it's been in quarantine, I'm like trying all these new things. And then each month I'm like, okay, I want to make more money than I made last month. And yeah, I have that like stripper hustle mentality now.
Yeah.
So I'm like doing like one-on-one chats with people, like one-on-one texting with people, getting paid like $40 for like 10 minutes of texting with somebody.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah, and then I did like a one-on-one video chat with one guy. I started, and now I'm trying like doing every Monday and Wednesday, I'm doing a live stream on OnlyFans, and I just started this week and I made decent money that like people can tip you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's funny because Inked Magazine asked me to do a interview, and they're interviewing cam girls, and in my mind I'm like, I'm not technically a cam girl, but I'm like, OnlyFans live is basically the same thing as camming, so I just answered the questions like go according to that. But I'm like, all right, this week now my next thing that I'm trying to make more money is by starting camming, so then I can be officially a cam girl for this article.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well. It's just kind of like natural progression.
Yeah, and it's like I'm just trying, like I'm, my goal this month, like because last month I was supposed to be on tour, and I was like, I need to make this same amount of money that I would have made on tour, and I'm going to do it. And I did. So I was like, all right, now my goal is to make 10 grand this month.
I love that. Wow. Yeah. Have you been making like a couple thousand, like around?
Yeah. Like I've been surviving off of like the bare minimum for the last 4 years. Like, I mean, there were months where I survived off making like $1,500, but that's because I've been, nomading because I've been on tour. So in between tours, I'm either in New York in my family's house, or at one point I was living with my one boyfriend, and then also just staying at the Suicide Girls house. So luckily I haven't had to pay rent, but I have so much credit card debt, which like that's my goal this year, is to pay it all off. Mm-hmm. So I pay the amount that I would pay in rent in credit cards every month. So whatever. But yeah, so I had been like skating by some months only making a little bit, but on average, I've made at least like 2 grand a month for the last 4 years from it. But now, like last month, I made like, I'm like, I'm always weird about like, do I want to tell people how much money I make? But I made like 6 grand, and that was my goal.
Wow.
That's how much I would have made on tour, because I'm actually tour manager now too. So
for Suicide Girl?
Yeah, it's crazy. Awesome. Yeah, because you know they let me open the show with my comedy. I had danced for them in 2014 and 2015, and then I started doing comedy and wasn't touring with them for like a year. They didn't do a tour for like a year, And then 2017, they saw me doing comedy. They were like, oh, you can come host. And then a part that of the tour that I wasn't booked on, a merch girl bailed. So they were like, Lindsay, will you come do merch and you can open the show with your stand-up? And I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So I started by doing merch. Then the assistant tour manager fucked up one day on tour, so I ended up taking her job. Now I've been assistant tour manager and opening act for the last 2 years. And then they had me tour manage for like a week just to make sure that I could do it. And so I would have been tour managing last month because the tour manager has been doing it for like 7 years. She doesn't want to do it anymore because it's fucking exhausting. But like, I'm naturally a person who is on people's ass about being clean and shit. And I also am naturally just bossing people around. So it just happened, you know?
That's cool. And I wanted to ask about the stand-up, but I got distracted by the Chucky tattoo. And I remember now, I saw it in the bathroom at the Comedy Store, and I think I was like, no! happening? And I feel like I was like, I'm so scared of Chucky.
That sounds vaguely familiar, but I am often so drunk at the Comedy Store, so I don't know.
Okay. Wait, so what's it like doing stand-up at these shows? Because I know that, like, sometimes if you're not at a straight stand-up show, like, it can be, like, a little awkward. Like, do you find that, like, the crowd is, like, down for stand-up? Like,
yeah, well, at this point, now that I've been doing it for 3 tours, they, like, know, and they finally, like, promote that I'm going to be on, because in the beginning, they weren't, like, promoting that I was the opening act, and just, it, like, people would be expecting just girls to come out dancing, and then they see me, so, of course, you know how it is, like, you got to get their attention in the beginning, so maybe the first few minutes, but I'm proud that I'm, like, pretty good at demanding a room, and even when I first started doing comedy, like, even though I didn't have great jokes, I still could get people to listen to me, you know? Yeah. So even if I'm in like a crowded, shitty bar, most of the time I can get people to listen. And maybe it's just because I look good, whatever. But so I've been very lucky with the crowds. Plus the Suicide Girls crowds, they just like love us. So they're totally my type of people. They like my jokes. Sometimes the abortion jokes don't go over great in the South, which I've definitely experienced times where it just got like, you know, totally dead quiet. But, for the most part, it's been amazing. And I've become such a better comic because I'm going up in front of, you know, the smallest crowds that we do are like 200 people, but we have some shows where we do like 1400 people and I've had to shut hecklers down in those shows. But for the most part, they're all listening to me and I'll get like one or two hecklers and then I'll, you know, make a small dick joke and then they shut the fuck up.
That's so fun. That's great that you could incorporate comedy into it and like just like mix all your worlds together.
Yeah, it's insane and it works perfectly because, you know, like back in vaudevillian days, that's how comedy started, was like with burlesque. So it actually works really well. And yeah. Like it can be hard because the crowds will be drunk a lot of the times, but it's been working really well and like it works good for the girls too because I get the crowd warmed up and then I get them excited and it's like really, really solid crowds. I'm super grateful because then I come back to LA and I'm doing, you know, like shitty little shows.
Yeah. and then I feel like a lot of people don't understand like the, like when you're doing like a webcam or like a show or, I guess on OnlyFans, like a live video, I don't think a lot of people understand like the incredible power feeling you feel.
Yeah.
Doing that. Like, do you experience that?
Yeah, I guess like, I never thought about it as like power, but you're right. Like really? I definitely,
Cause when I was a stripper, like, I had this, like, it's weird. It's, like, I have this, like, real sense of, like, confidence, you know? Like, it's yeah. Weird because it's, like, you're this, like, fantasy object, and it's, like,
yeah.
It's weird because it gave me, like, such, like, a powerful, like, confident feeling. Like, the first night that I ever danced, I did it complete. I was like an alcoholic, you know, I'm sober now, but I decided not to drink the first night because I knew if I drank, I would get way too drunk and I wouldn't get the job. So yeah. I just like go out there like sober and like just be confident. And like, it was so weird, but somehow, like, it was in Hawaii at the time, all these guys who were, like, my really close friends somehow found out that I was there. And right before I went out to, like, dance for my first song, they somehow just showed up and they sat down in front of the stage, and I had to walk out there and just dance in front of, like, all my best guy friends.
Oh, my God.
I had no idea how they were, like, tipped off that it was going to happen. But, like, it was literally, like, the timing was just ridiculous. And, like, I just, like, went into this thing where I'm just, like, fuck it. Like, and it's, like, you just get that, like, I don't know, just, like, it's, like, that, like, yeah, I don't know, this, like, confidence.
Empowerment.
Yeah, do you experience that, like, a lot?
Yeah, and that sounds terrifying because, to me, it's, like, it's so easy to do stuff like that in front of strangers, but if it's your good friends, it's so much more embarrassing, so.
But it's, like, you don't have, like, time to even think about it. You just have to, like, go into it, and, like, when you push to that, like, other side, it's just, like, this, it's almost just, like, a new, like, persona. Like, do you kind of, like, do you feel like you kind of have, like, two different personas, like, a performance kind of, like, not like a character, but like, it's like an energy. And I know this sounds fucking dumb, but like, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, definitely. And it's like, you're for like, even in like me talking to doing like a sexting combo with somebody for money, it's like you're performing for them what they want to hear from you. Like this one guy, for instance, is like, are you into like young guys? I'm like, not, you mean like 18 and over, right? So then like all he wanted to hear about was like me with 18 year olds. So I was like, sure. Yeah. I want an 18 year old to fuck me. So like, yeah, I'll do characters in that sense. But for the most part, I'm just like acting like myself and being stupid and, or just being like sexy. But I totally understand the empowerment thing because you do. And that's the thing that's annoying is that people think that it's degrading and they think this, but it's like, you actually feel so powerful and you feel like, it's like, I never feel bad. The only time I ever feel bad about these things is when somebody's talking to me, putting me down about it. It's not like I, and I'm sure there are girls who feel bad about it, but then it's who like that, maybe that's their only option, but not everyone's like that. But I think there's this assumption that you're a sex worker because you have to be, and there's nothing else you could do. When I could be doing hair, I could work 12 hours a fucking day. I used to work 12-hour days doing hair, and I can make $700 in one day doing hair easy, and I still do sometimes because I do hair on the side for, like, Suicide Girls and stuff, but, and actually, that's how I got involved in their tour. They originally hired me to do their hair, but it's, like, do I want to work for 12 hours straight on my feet, like, breaking my fucking neck, or do I want to, like, chill in my bed and, like, post some news? Like, it's so, it's just a matter of working smarter, not harder, and, and I don't feel bad about it. The only time I ever feel bad about it is when, like, I'm trying to impress somebody who I like, who I want them to like me, and I see that maybe this isn't what they want. And it's like, I need to stop pandering to people because anybody who I'm going to fall in love with is just going to accept that I do that. And obviously this isn't something like, I'm like, oh, I want to do this for the rest of my life. I obviously want to have a successful career as a comedian or even, you know, still doing music, entertainment in general. I want to do a million things. I want TV shows. I want everything. I want to write, whatever. But it's like something that if I could still do this and make a lot of money from it and like the person I was with didn't care, I might still do it on the side because why not? I'm like, I got another 10 years of being hot. I can do this for.
Yeah, totally. Did you used to do chat roulette stuff?
No. I think when I was like really young, my friends would like fuck around. When I was like 12, me and my friends were cybering with people on AOL. Like,
really? We would do.
Yeah,
but texting, there was no video when it was.
Yeah, but my no, I did have friends who did chat roulette, but I never did.
I didn't. What about cybering?
Yeah, where you'd be like ASL and you'd
yeah.
And really, they would have liked if we were like, we would lie and be like, oh, 18, this and that, but really they probably would like if we were like 12.
I know, so creepy. Yeah, I love how you like how you're very true to yourself and very open about everything, and like, I wonder, like, was that something that came over time, or were you just kind of always like that?
That's, I think I've always been like this. I mean, I think I was more shy when I was, like, I've always been, like, a mixture, because I'm a little, I could be shy around certain people, especially if I'm, like, intimidated, but, I've always been, my mom is always like, if I wasn't there when you were born, I wouldn't think you were my child. Because I've always just been the wild one and definitely always said things that were inappropriate.
But it's such an attractive quality to be someone who, like, you know, to me, like, just doesn't give a fuck and, like, really stays true to themselves. Like, I think that's something that, like, every person would find, like, very attractive, because I think a lot of people, it's very hard for them to, like, do that for themselves, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, it's so nice when people say that to me, because I've had a lot of my friends be like, I feel like I can be myself around you. And I'm like, you can, I want you to be yourself. Like, and so it's just a really nice thing. And I think it just actually probably comes from being, growing up with a good family, I think, which is funny because it's the opposite of what everybody thinks of me. Everybody thinks, oh, she's got daddy issues, this and that. When I'm sitting here in my parents' home, you know, like, my parents are still together. They love me. Obviously my mom's like, oh God, she doesn't love the tattoos. She doesn't love the stuff I do, but she accepts me for who I am. And yeah, I've been like this for like as long as I can remember, you know. Like, I had tattoos in high school, I had colorful hair, I was doing my hair like that, you know, I was always popular. I won prom queen, I won best hair, most eccentric.
Prom queen?
Yeah. Wow. You're talking to the prom queen, baby.
I'm dead serious. Whenever I hear that, I'm like, oh my God.
I love to throw, it's like so pathetic, but I'm still proud of that. Like, I love to throw it out there. I'm like, by the way, I was prom queen.
Oh, that's huge. Like, I went to prom 5 times, and I will tell anyone who listens, but like, prom queen is like a big deal. Wow. What was that like?
You know, it was great. I think that I've always been kind of also like, cause I think when I was really young, I was never like not popular, like in elementary school, but I can remember imagining being popular, and I'd like write out my outfits and draw up my outfits and like write out goals. And so I can remember when I decided that I wanted to be prom queen was like the year before. I remember being in like biology class and talking to this girl and being like, do you think I should try to be prom queen? And she was like, yeah. Cause I was like different. And I was a cheerleader, but I had, my fucking mom had drama with the cheerleading coach. And I, no, it's crazy. Cause I was on a competition team, when I was in like eighth grade, I was like 14. And so it would have been the time that I would be trying out for the high school team. And I was on this gymnastics competition team that the lead cheerleading coach of my high school, her daughter ran the gymnastics team. It was like separate from the school. We were like the national champions back then. And I fucking taught all, like, at the auditions, I taught everybody in my stunt group. You know, there's like a stunt group of 4 people. They didn't even know how to do a stunt. I taught these bitches how to stunt, and every single one of them made it except for me, because my mom had pissed off. And my mom's the nicest lady. She just pissed off the woman because we had a competition in New York City, and the woman wanted everybody to drive in. And my mom's like, why don't we just take the train? That way we can stick together. We don't have to worry about traffic or parking and this and that. And half the people agreed with my mom, but nobody would stick up for themselves. Cause you've seen Bring It On, and you've seen Cheer, and this shit is crazy. These women are fucking insane. Like, Dance Moms, they're really insane. If you don't agree with everything they say, they're like, whatever. So she literally didn't put me on the team because my mom pissed her off. So I feel like that changed my life dramatically, cause I still would have been like unique, I think, but I definitely wouldn't be like coloring my hair as much, cause I wouldn't be allowed to, you know? So I don't know. It's just interesting how things panned out. So it was like me and the cheerleaders being nominated for prom queen.
And look who won, bitch.
Yes.
That's so cool. Wow. Yeah. So what do you, I feel like you probably have like a lot of girls who are like haters, but it's only cause they're jealous of like your spirit, you know?
Yeah. And I think, oh my God, when I first started comedy, like, so many bitches, and I can say this because she knows that it happened, but Courtney Banks, she was like just tearing me down for no reason. And just like to my face. No, she pretended to be my friend. Okay. And then there was a whole thing about it. And then like, cause I overheard her talking about roast battle, and, I was like, oh, I want to roast battle too. Do you want to roast battle each other? And like, I thought me and her were cool. We had talked before at open mics. And she was like, yeah. And then I find out that before that, she had already been talking about me, saying I don't write my own jokes, which my jokes weren't even good at the time. Like, why are you saying I don't write my own jokes? And yeah, so it just became this crazy drama. And then when I won the roast battle, everybody, like, so many people were mad. Vina Joy, or whatever her name is, she fucking posted a, yeah. She posted like, oh, she shouldn't have won, this and that. And I'm like, what is wrong with you people? I've been doing comedy for 2 months. You're going to just tear me apart? You don't even fucking know me just because they were like, oh, she's some Instagram hoe who thinks she could do comedy now. And then eventually they all love me.
I feel what? Like I remember watching this battle.
Probably. We ended up, I think we like planned that we were going to kiss at the end. So we did kiss at the end, but there was still drama after because she put out like a podcast being like, she was like, she had asked me before the roast battle if we could do the podcast the next day. And that was because she assumed that she was going to win. And then when she didn't win, she was all pissed about it. She recorded an intro before I came over being like, I'm a real comic and this and that, just saying all this fucked up shit about me. And we recorded the podcast and she basically was just trying to convince me why she should have won. And I was like, no, I won fair and square. And I just stuck, you know, like I just, whatever, stuck to my, how I felt about it. And then she puts the podcast out and I hear the intro and I was like, what the fuck, Courtney? Like how are you going to go and put this crazy intro out without letting me know? So I was way nicer to you than I would have been on the podcast. And she was just trying to like catch me. I don't know. It was like weird, but, we're cool now though. I've forgiven her. She's, hasn't been like that in years. We've had good memories since then, but it was just crazy. Beginning of me being in comedy, I definitely dealt with girls acting that way with me, which is just crazy because I'm so nice.
You are really nice. You seem like you're always having fun.
Thanks. I try.
You're a really happy person.
Generally, I definitely go through phases of depression, especially like going through breakups. And then actually you have a joke that I think is so funny and I relate to. I think you say you knew you had a problem when you had to start paying for Coke.
Wait. Do I?
Is that your joke?
I don't even know my jokes anymore.
I know. It's been so long.
I had a problem. I start paying. I mean, I have a lot of Coke jokes. Maybe I used to say that.
Like something like you were like, I never had to pay for it before. So that's when I knew I had a problem. Something like that. I'm pretty sure. I thought it was your joke. Oh my God. Am I crazy?
It might be, but I don't, or like an older, it's so disturbing that I can't even think of my jokes.
The only other person I could think of it being is Kate Quigley, but I don't think so. I think it was you.
It sounds like something that would be a part of my set, but sometimes I have jokes that I don't do anymore.
Yeah.
What if that's like one of my jokes I do all the time?
I'm probably butchering
the red flag. That was a red flag. I haven't done my jokes in 2 months. It's yes, I knew I had a problem when I had to pay for doing Coke. Like that was a red. Oh, like something about that.
Yeah.
I literally do every single week. Oh my God, I have to review my jokes. I haven't like done anything to do with stand-up, you know?
Yeah, I know. I need. Have you done any Zoom shows or no? You're like not into it.
I did too, but they were storytelling shows. So like, I wasn't doing my jokes. But I keep being like, I should look over my jokes and just like give myself refreshers to like.
I know, me too.
No, that
I
think is that a joke of mine. It has to do with like a red flag, but I literally cannot recall the line. How disturbing is that?
I know, I hate that too. Well, it's like, I haven't had that as much with, no, I have with some jokes, but like, it's like, I used to perform music all
the time. I'm listening.
I used to perform music on Long Island all the time, and I like hadn't listened to one of my songs in a long time, and my friends knew the lyrics better than me, and I'm like, this is so embarrassing. How do I not remember?
Wait.
But,
yeah.
I was going to say, that is, I've gone through phases where I felt that way, and there were times where I was not as happy of a person during those time periods, but in general, for the most part, I'm usually a pretty happy person, but I get totally ruined from relationships.
I found the joke. I aged out of doing Coke. You know, you're getting older as a woman when people start asking you to pay for a Coke. Like that was the red flag. I can't believe
there it is.
Oh my God. Sorry, Jackie. Sorry. Oh my God. I just hit my phone on the couch and it bounced and hit my dog on the stomach when he was sleeping. Sorry, baby. Here it comes. Hi, Jackie.
Oh my God, I forgot you got a new puppy. He's so cute. Is English bulldog or?
Yeah, an English bulldog. He's 4 months.
I used to have an English bulldog. They're the cutest fucking dogs. Yeah.
What did you have him when he was a puppy, obviously, to like start with?
Yeah, it was a she. And my brother's ex-girlfriend got it for him. Oh. And my dad was not happy about it at the time. This is like 12 years ago, but it ended up being my dad's best friend. She was just so fucking cute. Yeah, we had her since she was a puppy. She died kind of young, though. She was like 8 when she died. She died on my first day of tour 1 year, which is so sad.
Was she really crazy when she was a puppy?
You know, I don't remember. Okay. I think all puppies are crazy, though.
Okay.
Aww. So cute, though.
Okay, I want to end with, like, what kind of, like, okay, since you are so good at, like, the essence of not giving a fuck and, like, not caring what other people think and staying true to yourself, like, what kind of, like, what can you say about that in, like, a motivational way for, like, someone who, like, I feel like, like, what can you, like, say about just, like, encouraging people to not give a fuck and stay true to themselves?
Yeah, I guess somebody asked me this question recently, and since it was like a written interview, so I was able to write a better answer. I'm trying to remember what I said, but just like, you know, you have to, because I go through phases, and especially when I started comedy and everybody, you know, like you really care what people think because everybody's talking shit about you and saying, oh, she doesn't write her own joke, this and that. Like, I wanted to be so badly to prove to people that I was a good joke writer and whatever. I think you just have to take every experience and realize that everybody's experience is different and it's case by case, and you can't have somebody who's going to be like, oh, you have to do this in order to succeed in this career. Like, you know how it is when people are like, you have to go to 5 open mics a night in order to be a successful comedian. It's like, maybe not. Maybe you don't have to do that. Like, I did that at some point, but I don't think that everybody's journey is like that. But I think just spending time with yourself is so huge, and spending time alone, because so many people are afraid to be with themselves, right? Like, they're afraid to be alone and they're afraid to be with their own thoughts. You have to have time to yourself to realize who you are without the influence of other people, because if you don't, you're just all the time taking in the opinions of other people. And I'm often around, like, surrounded by people, so I feel like this has been a good time for me to reconnect with myself and just affirmations. I love affirmations.
Really?
And I read a lot of self-help books, and some of them can be helpful, some of them cannot be. I think you just have to find what works for you. But I do a lot of, like, you know, creative work, journaling. I love journaling. And, yeah, just affirmations and realizing, oh, here's one thing that has helped me a lot, is thinking of yourself as a friend, because you would never say the fucked up shit you say to yourself to your friends, you know? Mm-hmm. And so anytime I catch myself talking shit to myself, I just try to, like, flip the switch and be like, no, bitch, like, I'm hilarious, I'm funny, I'm cool, I'm beautiful, you know, because for so many years, I've been tearing myself apart thinking that I'm fat, and I've gotten fatter from that, but I literally think it's because of the thought process too, and not saying there's anything wrong with being fat or whatever, but it's diet culture has fucked us up so much. And I read this book, Anti-Diet. It's amazing. I suggest it to everybody, by Christy Harrison. Just realizing that you're never going to be this, like, perfect image that, you know, the world puts out there. So, like, I look back at these pictures of myself when I thought I was, like, disgusting or fat, and half the time it was because some man said something to me, or it'd be like a man A&R in Hollywood or in the music industry who'd say, oh, you look pregnant, or you look this, you look that. And half the time these people said these things because they couldn't fuck me and I wouldn't fuck them, you know? So
Yeah. You
can't let these people get in your head, because it's constantly being drilled in our heads that as women that we aren't good enough, we aren't funny enough, we are not good writers, you know? So, ooh, now I'm going on a rant, but, you know, just don't let other people's opinions of you sway your own, and just try to connect with yourself. That's my advice.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yes, of course.
And then
thank you for having me.
Your social, OnlyFans, whatever you want to promote, and on, like, whatever platforms.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Lindsay Jennings with a Z, LindseyJenningz. JenningZ. OnlyFans.com/Lindsay Jennings, spelled the same way. And that's it. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yay.
Talk to you later. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.